It's good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? Let's turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 2, verse number 20. We had just a great time in New York last weekend with Brother and Sister Luma and the installation of their pastoralship there in the church. Got to meet all of their precious members and see this beautiful building that they have there in Stottville, New York. And the building that they're in is the first church that was ever built in that city almost 200 years ago. It's very historic, very old. It's the gentleman that built it was Stockman, and the city is Stockville. Everything there is named after him, I guess. And now it's a apostolic Holy Ghost-filled church. They've been in this church for about 40 years, and Brother Luma is there. They are growing. When he went there, they had about six members. There were 75 there on Sunday. Give the Lord praise for that. Lord really blessed. So we'll put together a little small PowerPoint in about 2 minutes long, show it to you on Sunday, because he's from us and we're proud of him and we want to continue to support them. I'm going to come to you about that here in a couple of weeks. I know it's New York, but it was hot. I mean, you can wring water out of my tie when I was done. It's so hot. I'm like, dude, this is not Jamaica. This is New York. Windows were open and everything, but you know, because it's cold, 9 months out of the year in New York, I guess, or at least cool. But those 3 months that it's hot, it's hot. And I said, you dudes need an air conditioner, and we're gonna put one right up in the center of this thing, and that's gonna blow cold air all over this building, because when I come back, I ain't sweating. So we'll do that for them, and I'll talk to you about that in a couple of weeks. We'll take care of that. Thank you for those of you that are going to bring items, have already done it, will do it. Please try to make this a conscious decision. Try not to forget about this. Go buy some extra items from Publix or wherever. Let's bring it here, and let's bring a complete trailer out to Louisiana there in the Baton Rouge area. We already have the place where we're dropping it off. There's an apostolic church there that has set up an outpost. And they're not only blessing other apostolic churches, but they're blessing all of the people in the community. And so we want to be there to help these people through this crisis, this flooding. It's what the church is about. Amen? Christ in me. Well, we've been on a little journey. This will be the third sermon concerning this particular subject. 2 Wednesdays ago, we started out with Christ in me. Last Wednesday, we talked about me in Christ, and tonight, I want to just kind of wrap it up a little bit with just a little small thought, still dealing with Christ in me, but trying to look a little bit further into this subject. So the word of the Lord says in Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Father, we come to you tonight. We ask that you touch my mind, my heart, and my spirit. I pray, Lord, that your word, as it goes forth, that our hearts are fertile ground to receive it. Bless us, God, with understanding tonight. And help us that when we leave this place here this evening, we will leave with a greater knowledge and revelation of the God in Christ that abides in us. And Lord, that we will become that vessel that you have so chosen and called us to be in a world that is dark and dying, an untoward generation. Let us be that light set up on a hill, that men might have hope and see, Lord Jesus, your glory. Help us to lift you up, that all men might be drawn to you. We ask it in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone say amen. Amen. Find two or three people around you and tell them Jesus Christ abides in you. Lord bless you. You can be seated. My wife feels like she has the victory because she literally found three people to say that to. Sets goals and accomplishes them. Well, we have been on a wonderful journey with this precious subject, Christ in me. A couple of weeks ago, we dealt with what it means to have Christ on the inside of each and every one of us. The word of the Lord tells us in John 14 and 16, and sister, you don't have to try to find these, just I'll be on my subject here shortly, where he says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Someone say, thank God for the Holy Ghost. That he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. I'm going to come back to that later. Whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Jesus Christ goes on to say, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. God was trying to get his disciples to understand that he was with them in the physical form, but that in order to accomplish what he had truly come to do in this world, it could not be done if he remained in this fashion. Another place he said, it is expedient that I go away to the Father, that I might send the Holy Ghost back to you. The Lord knew that his work was so much greater than just the 12 disciples. It was greater than the city of Jerusalem. Greater than the country of Israel. The Bible tells us in John 3 and 16 that God so loved the. So Jesus came to this earth not to reach a particular group of people, but he came to reach the world. And in order to do that, it had to be something greater than him just simply physically manifesting himself, and thank God he did. Timothy 3:16 tells us, for God was manifested in the flesh. But the Lord Jesus teaches and expresses all of his disciples that these works that I have done, you are going to do them, but not only these works, but greater works. How is that going to happen? When he ascended up into heaven, he told his disciples, go and tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with the power from on high. He was speaking there, of course, of the Holy Ghost. We find that out in the second chapter of the book of Acts. The Lord said that I will come and I will abide in you. That word abide there we looked at. It means to remain, to stay. It means to continue with, to endure, and to become inseparable. Jesus Christ, God Almighty, had a plan from the foundation of the world, the Bible tells us, to reach this world, to reach fallen and lost humanity. He placed his spirit on the inside of me, and he placed it on the inside of you, that you and I could and would continue this incredible, powerful work of God. The work of the Spirit in the world. This is what it means to have Christ in us. When God comes into me and God comes into you, we take on the work and the burden of our God. The more we become like him, the more we want the things that he wants. We love the things that he loves. We hate the things that he hates, because Christ has come to take abode inside of you and I. And he has come that our hands might be his hands, that our eyes could become his eyes, our feet become his feet. And when we leave this building here tonight, there's 150 little Jesuses walking and all over West Palm Beach trying to reach a world that is lost. We love that verse about the Holy Ghost dwelling in us, and the verses that talk about the power that worketh in us and the miracles and all the wonderful things that take place, because this loving, merciful, graceful God has taken his place in my heart and yours. But we learned last Wednesday that this walk with God is twofold. It's not just about God abiding in me, but it's about me abiding in God. John chapter 15 verse 7 says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. And so we learned, it's not just Christ dwelling in me, but it's me dwelling in Christ. In fact, when we begin to study the word of God, the conclusion that we came to was pretty simple. When God comes into me, it changes me. But when I get in God, I change the world. Put your hands together. God is a mighty God. I want to deal a little bit more tonight about Christ in me. What a powerful, powerful statement that Paul the Apostle makes in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And so Paul the Apostle is making a statement here that I died. Now, he's basically saying, it's obvious that I am not talking about my human flesh, because yet I live. I was crucified with Christ, yet I live. So Paul is saying, obviously I'm not talking about a physical death, but there was another kind of death that took place on the inside of me. Paul goes on to say, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. What are you saying, Paul? What I'm saying is that the man in me that used to rule, the man in me that had control, the old desires and the old wants and the old carnality in me, it
died. And when it died, something else came alive. It's not I that liveth in here, but it is Christ. When he abode in me, I begin to love what he loves. I begin to want what he wants. I go where he wants to go. I say what he wants to say. I do what he wants to do, because I no longer live, but Christ lives in me.
The other thing that we have got to get a hold of here is that when Jesus was upon this earth, he was driven with a compassion that could not be controlled. Everywhere as he went, the Bible said he had compassion on them all, and he would heal them all. When the blind man cried out, he stopped in his tracks and said, "Bring them to me." When the lady pushed through the crowd and touched the hem of his garment, it stopped him in his tracks, and he turned and he healed her. Why? Because he was here to reach a lost and dying world. But he was just one man. He could only go so far. He could only do so much. But his desire was to reach the world. His passion was to touch every man, every woman that was hurting, every heartache, every pain, every depression, every sorrow. God wants to touch it, reach it, redeem it, and heal it. And so Paul the apostle, he got a revelation here. He said, "I died and somebody else came alive." Yes, Christ is no longer here in his physical body, but he is here physically. He's no longer here in his physical body, but he is here physically. How is that, Pastor? Because he's in you. And everywhere you go, that's Jesus. If somehow we would let him abide so great in us that when I opened my mouth, we never had to worry about doubt or fear or hatred or envy or strife coming out, but it would always be love, it would always be hope, it would always be strength. Paul said, "I'm trying to get you to understand something. I died so that Christ could continue to live. He now lives in me." If this revelation could get a hold of us of what this really means, is that the only hope that God has of continuing his work is if you and I allow him to do that work within us. Clap your hands for the Lord. Give God praise. Let's love him for a moment, will you? Just give him some praise for a moment. Thank him for coming in. Now, one of these days, I'm going to train you to know that when I say praise him, you praise him just a little longer, because I'm trying to get a drink. So you just praise him a little longer while I get a drink. Thank you. Now let me drive this home a little bit more. Nevertheless, I live. He's talking about his physical body now. I was crucified, but, you know, physically, I still live. However, I want you to understand that it's only the physical body, because inside of me, that man died. Now, Paul was an ignorant, and the word is certainly straightforward. And we understand that the old man has a way of rising itself up, don't we? I'm not the only one, am I? So Paul said every day, guess what? Every day
I re-crucify that old man. And why do I nail him to a cross again with Christ? So that Christ can live in me again today. What that tells me, and it ought to tell you, that Christ abiding and Christ living in you is a decision you must make every single day of our life. It's not like this hokey-pocus religion, God forgive me. It's not like this junk in the world today where once you confess, that's it. It don't matter what you do or where you go. I got news for you, honey. You must make this decision every day of your life that Christ will live in you. Every day. Somebody shout, every day. Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I no longer fulfill the old desires of this carnal flesh. I no longer yield to the desires of this flesh. I no longer give this body over to the old carnal man that used to abide in here. But now this flesh, this human flesh that breathes this air, this celestial air, it is that flesh that I have given over to the faith of the Son of God who led me and gave himself for me. Paul brings it all together right here. I do not frustrate the grace of God. What are you saying, Paul? I'm saying I know why God came into me. I know why he's in this vessel. He wants me to go reach somebody. He wants me to talk to somebody. He wants me to love somebody. He wants me to help somebody. He wants me to pray somebody through. He wants me to pray for someone and see them healed. He wants me to be there for them, a friend and a help and a comfort. And if I refuse to do it, I frustrate the grace of God, because it's God that abides in me. Is this making any sense? Tell your neighbor, don't frustrate the grace of God. Now, there's some incredible things that happen when God comes into us. Incredible things. How many of y'all been changed since Jesus come your way? Anybody here a little different? I know some of y'all. Some of y'all way different. Some of y'all way different. Yeah. Listen. When Christ comes into us, he takes away my inabilities and my inefficiencies. I want you to hear that. When Christ comes into me, I am no longer limited. I am no longer unable. I can do. Sounds pretty able to me. Whew. When he enters into me, my mind is no longer my mind. See, without him, I could only see what was right in front of me. Without him, I could only hunger and desire for those things that were immediately pleasures to my flesh. But when Christ came into me and the mind of Christ came into my mind, all of a sudden now I've got that extra sense. Huh? The world talks about ESP. Friend, I'm here to tell you, there's nothing like having God on the inside. You'll go to do something, you don't know the end result, and the Holy Ghost will say, stop. And you'll go, but there's nothing wrong with this. Stop, don't do it. Yeah. And when we learn to obey that voice of God, and we just simply back off. It was today. I was about to do a little something, and the Holy Ghost said, no, don't do that. I said, but God, this is completely, there's nothing wrong with this. He didn't respond. He's not interested in your reasoning.
So I didn't hear anything. So I said, well, I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. Went to do it. And no, don't do that. I said, okay, God, I have learned that no matter how innocent and simple something may seem, if you say don't do it, I can't see tomorrow, but you can. I can't see the result, but you can. You know what's going to be the ultimate results of every action I take. God, I am going to learn to obey your voice. I want to tell you, when God comes into you, he takes away all fear of your future. He removes your fear of your tomorrows, because your tomorrows are in his hand. Your tomorrows are his tomorrows. My Lord, I wish I had some help in the house. That's why he said, fear not about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. Let tomorrow take care of itself. Just trust in me. I've got everything. I've got your whole life in my hands. That's what happens when God comes into you. You don't have to worry about your tomorrows. You don't have to worry about your todays. God's got it all in his control. He's the blesser. He's the healer. He's the helper. He's the provider. Our lives have changed. James 4 and 5 says, do you think that the scripture saith in vain that the spirit that dwells in us lusteth to envy? Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that, but I'm going to tell you one of the little areas of there is that the spirit in us, it knows what it can do. It knows its potential and its capabilities, what it can do through you. And we limit it every day of our life through doubt and fear and selfishness, you know, wanting things for ourselves and controlling our own little world still, doing our own little things, going where we want to go, saying what we want to say. Someone hurts our feelings. Christ says, love them back. And we say, they don't deserve love. And we hurt them with our own words. They hurt us with theirs. We hurt them back. And it all could have been solved if we'd have just done what the Holy Ghost told us to do in the very beginning. When reviled against, revile back not. Just love them. Pray for them. Help them. Bless them. Be there for them. Spirit gets all stirred up on the inside of us because we got them all wrapped up and all bound up. Christ is trying to get us to stop working within our own abilities and start leaning upon his. It's not my hands that heal. It's not my preaching that saves. It's not your ability. It's not your power. It is his, and he dwells in us, and greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Oh, we need to let him reign. We need to let him flow through us. We need to let him speak through us. Tell your neighbor, would you let God talk through you? Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost up in this place. Somebody say, Christ in me. Tell your neighbor, when God came into me, he got rid of my inabilities. Huh? Why? Because I don't use my talent anymore. I don't use my abilities anymore. I use his abilities. I let him flow through me, and he anoints everything I do. It's no longer me, but it's him that worketh through me. That's why Simon Peter, when he looked at that man and said, look on us. And he reached down, picked him up, and he said, such as I have not silver and gold, but what I have I'm going to give you. They went into the temple. Everybody looked at this lame man from birth dancing in the temple. And they began to gawk at Simon Peter and John and saying, how'd you do this? He said, wait a minute. Don't look on me as though by some magical power I made this happen. I'm here to tell you, it's the Christ that dwells in me that did this work. The one that you crucified, he lives in me. Oh, I wish we'd let him live in us. I wish we'd stir it up. I wish we'd let him have his way. Somebody say, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Woo! Zechariah 4:6, put it this way. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. He is our prophet. He is our priest. He is our king. He is our friend. He is our brother. He is our husband. He is our head. Every way and everywhere we lean on him, he is our all in all. He is Christ in me. It's no longer my ability. It's no longer my intelligence. It's no longer my talent. It is Christ in me. And if we could somehow get a hold of this, it would help our intimidation. We're intimidated because we still connect the old carnal brain to the old carnal hands and to the carnal mouth. And I don't mean that in an ugly way. I just mean that in a limited way, to the old carnal feet. And we do what we can do, and we touch what we can touch. Well, the problem with that is that you know you're a failure. We all know that. We proved that before we ever came to God. We failed at everything. But when he came into our life, he blessed us. He promoted us. He lifted us up. He touched us. He put our marriage back together. He saved our children. I don't know, maybe you still think you're doing it on your own. I'm looking at some of you. I knew you when you were doing it on your own. It was pretty bad. I know some of you here, you started doing it on your own after you knew Jesus, and it got bad all over again. And then you finally pray through, you let God back in, and God goes back and puts it all back together. Listen, we need to disconnect that old carnal brain from those old carnal hands and those old carnal feet, and let the mind of Christ connect to his hands. Let the mind of Christ connect to his feet. He said, Abraham, everywhere you put your foot, I'm going to give it to you. Why? Because it's no longer your feet, Abraham. When you step, it's my promise. When you move, it's my power. When you go, it's my miracle. That's what we've got to get a hold of. It's no longer our feet. They're no longer our hands. It's no longer my mouth. It's no longer my mind. I have been crucified, but Christ lives in me. My God, somebody get a hold of it. We got to get a hold of this. The Bible says we are crucified in him. It says we are dead in him. We are buried in him. But then it goes on to say we are risen in him. In him we have eternal life. In him we sit gloriously at the right hand of God. The word of the Lord says, who raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In him we are accepted in the beloved, both now and forever. When Christ came into us and we got into Christ, everything changes. Christ in me takes care of my inabilities. Moses said, but I can't talk. Exodus 3:11, Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Chapter 4, verse number 10, Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said in verse number 11 unto him, who hath made man's mouth?
I'm trying to get you to understand something, Moses. I'm the one sending you to Pharaoh. And when you stand before Pharaoh and you open your mouth, it is no longer your mouth. I made it. It's my mouth. That's why the Lord said, fear not what you're going to say in that day. Because when you open your mouth, I'm going to fill it for you. Because it's not our mouth. It's not our mind. They're not our hands. Christ in us. Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. And I will not frustrate the grace of God. I hope this is touching somebody. Gideon, huh? Doing his little thresh floor thing, right? Oh, Lord, he says, Lord, he said, how am I going to be the deliverer of Israel? How's that possible? He said to the Lord, he said, thou Lord, the angel came and said, thou Lord, mighty man of valor, Isaiah, I jumped ahead a second there. The angel came and said, thou Lord, a mighty man of valor. But Gideon said to the Lord, he said, we're in captivity. And then he said, I'm hiding to try to get a little wheat. And then he said, I'm of the family that's the least of Israel. But not only am I of the family that's the least of Israel, I'm the smallest guy in the family. Do you have any clue who you're talking to? You know, God's response to him was so simple. Thou mighty man of valor. What? Did you not hear anything I just said to you? I just told you, God, it is impossible for me to accomplish this. And it's like God said, I understand that. You are weak, and you are the least, and you are a nobody. But it's that revelation that's going to allow me to get in you and work through you with power and work through you with anointing and do miracles in you that no man would have ever dreamed. And when you, Gideon, the family of the least of Israel, the child of the least of the family, when you lead my people to victory with 300 men, over 180,000 Syrians or Moabites, when you conquer and destroy them and drive them out, everybody's going to know it wasn't you, Gideon. You didn't do that, Gideon. My God, I hunger for the day that God does something through me, Jim, and God does something through all of us that everybody has to say, that wasn't you. That was too powerful. That was too awesome. That was too great. That must be the Christ that dwells in you. Something in you has died, and something else has come alive. Everybody clap your hands to the Lord. Give God praise. Hallelujah. Somebody say, Christ in me. Whoo. Isaiah went to the temple. Glory of God came in. Isaiah said, I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell amidst the people of unclean lips. And an angel came, and off the fire of the altar, he grabbed a little coal, and he came, and he touched the lips of Isaiah. Because when God comes, he does away with all of your inabilities and all of your inaccuracies. All your failures and all your faults and all your shame and all your guilt of your past deeds, he washes away with his blood. And then he lifts you up, Adam. And when everybody said there was no hope, he puts a ministry on the inside of you.
And all of a sudden you start walking. Oh, but it's not you. See, it's not your feet anymore. Because you remember where your feet took you. Huh? Our feet took us, Jim, to the barroom. Remember that? Yeah, you was the bouncer. I was the drinker. Y'all ought to see his old pictures. My Lord have mercy. Big old guy, bouncer in a boardroom. Yeah, our feet took us to all kinds of filthy, ugly places. But now our feet carry us to the house of God on a Wednesday night because we want to hear the word of God. Woo! Why? Because they're not my feet anymore. They're his feet. And he wants this old vessel to be fed by the word of God. He wants this old vessel to hang around God-fearing people so that I can become strong. So he brings us to the house of God. They're not my feet anymore. They're his. My hands used to do things that I'm ashamed to tell you. But that's not what my hands do anymore. Now my hands say, come here, brother. Let me pray for you. Now my hands, they reach out and they see the little old lady. And they bend down. They help her pick her up. We don't steal the purse anymore. We pick it up when she drops it and we give it back to her. And if she drops money, we give that back to her. Why? Because they're not our hands. They're God's hands. Now when we open up our mouths, we're not cussing anymore. We're not cutting people down. We're not chewing the person out. Well, I don't know about that one, but you know, the one that cuts you off in traffic. Instead, you're blessing them and praying for them and speaking good words to them. Now when you see your brother who you find in a fault and you find in a failure, there's no more judgment. Now it's God's going to help you. Come on, brother. Let's talk about it. Don't worry. I'm not a gossiper. Nobody will ever know because this isn't my tongue. It's God's tongue. Because Christ lives in me. Somebody shout, Christ lives in me. See, that's what this is all about. He comes in. It's no longer what I can do. It's what he does. It's no longer what I think. My opinion's trivial. My opinion now takes the back seat. Because my opinion used to be, you going to let that guy do that to you? Oh, you a sissy? Now you get up and go punch that guy in the mouth. I'll be right here behind you. He turned around. I'm gone. Because he's crazy enough to punch that big old bouncer. He deserves everything he's going to get. I'm out of here. Yeah, that's what our mouth said. But today we say, no, brother, we got to pray for this brother. And we got to forgive him because you can't let nothing get in your heart. So you got to fix you. You got to keep you right. And then God will take care of everything. And then we got to figure out a way to bless him. That's what the word says. We got to figure out a way to bless him. And when you pray for him, it's not God. Give him everything he deserves. You know what? You know the danger about praying that prayer? Is you'll say, God, give him everything he deserves. And he'll come to church the following Sunday. My brother bought me a brand new Cadillac. And he don't even like me. And you're going to sit over there in your chair and go, I don't think he deserved that, God. You better be careful when you pray. Because the Lord knows how to humble you and how to bring you down. And this is what we need to remember. This is his vessel. You were bought with a price. You're no longer your own. You belong to him. This is his body. And we did a series on that. That this is God's vessel. How we treat it and what we do with it. This is God's vessel. We're going to be getting on some more of that here in not too long. All right, I'm going to close. It's 8:15. Because God's in me, I'm able to love. I'm telling you. I'll go to John 17, but skip down to verse number 26. I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. See, when God comes into you, Romans 5:5 says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. John 4:11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby we know that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given his spirit. When you let God, these are little Geiger counters. If you're having a problem loving your enemy, Christ probably is not in control. Because I know he loves his enemies. He gave his life for them. One on one side, who you think you are, you think you're God, you think you're the Christ, you think you're the anointed. If you're so powerful, why don't you come down and why don't you just kill them all and save us and get us off this cross? But he loved him anyway. And the one on the other side, Lord, remember me. Remember me. You come for your kingdom. And he looked at him and said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. When God comes in, you love everybody. You love everybody. That's why the church doesn't need to get caught up in politics. That's not our job. You hear me? You get the church, this worldly church gets caught up in politics, and they spend hundreds of millions of dollars trying to elect someone when God's going to put in that office whoever he good and well wants in that office. And they should have been spending those hundreds of millions of dollars on reaching the lost and feeding the poor. Let's do what God called us to do in this city. And I'm gonna tell you another thing. If the church would have always done what God has called us to do, you wouldn't have to be worrying about all of this immorality in this country, because we would be a God-fearing, Jesus-loving, loving one another, helping one another society. And I'm gonna kill that old political spirit. Now, let's flip that coin. I wish every one of you would run for office. Because I wish every congressman was a Holy Ghost-filled apostolic. And I wish every councilman in this city was Holy Ghost-filled. And I wish the governor was Holy Ghost-filled. And the list goes on and on and on and on. So, okay, having said that, we'll continue. I tell you, you'd think I was preaching on some other kind of spirit. It got so tight up in here. My righteousness is in him. I'm closing. You think I'd have closed on a lighter note. Romans 8:4. Let's stand. The righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life. Because of righteousness. You see, my only hope is that I let Jesus Christ live in me. Because my body is dead because of sin. And the only righteousness in me is him. Our righteousness is as filthy rags before the Lord. But when Christ lives in me, he brings life to me. He brings truth to me. And he brings the glory of God to me. And he brings the sufferings of Christ to me. Christ in me. It is my prayer, and I know it is the will of God, that some kind of a way, we begin to focus on this a little different. When you get up in the morning, Christ. I've got to crucify the old man so that God can live in me. Every one of us here today know we struggle with this. We feel the old man come up time after time. People say things, do things. You feel like you're maybe being cheated in some kind of way. Maybe your reputation is being challenged. It could be a lot of things. You can feel that old man rising up. But then Christ says, wait a minute. I didn't come to this world to make a reputation for myself. No. You don't worry about your reputation in this world. I'll take care of that in the other world. You do what's right, what I call you to do, what I compel you to do. Frustrate not the grace of God. And that's what we do when we don't allow Christ to live through us. We frustrate his grace, why he came to this world. Each and every one of us have a wonderful calling in God and a purpose in the Lord. And God will send people your way just to train you, just to teach you how to fight. I call them scaffolding. God uses them to build the building, to make you what you need to be in him. Tell your neighbor, Christ lives in me. Are you going to let him? You going to let him reign through you? Going to let him flow through you? So tomorrow, when something happens and the old man starts to react, y'all know who I'm talking about, right? Okay. I was beginning to wonder, I might be the only one that had one of those old men in me. And the old man begins to react. I want you to stop and go, Christ lives in me. You're dead. He lives. And we're going to respond the way he wants us to respond. Because you know good and well, you know good and well, that when you respond with the old man, you got to go back later and eat humble pie. You know that. Sometimes while you're saying the wrong thing in the back of your head, the Lord's saying, you know you're going to have to apologize for this, right? You know you're going to have to come fix this later. And you're still, the old man done got a hold of the mouth, right? So you're still going, but in the back of the brain, you're going to have to come back and fix this, right? Why not just let Christ live and take care of it from the very beginning? Talk about peace in your heart, love in your spirit, and talk about being able to walk around and enjoying life. As Paul said, no matter where you find yourself, I am content. Why? Because this is where God's living right now. Whatever situation, wherever I'm at, whatever's going on, it's God that lives in me. God has chosen this in me. Reach over, get your neighbor's hand. Father, we come to you tonight. I thank you for these wonderful people. Lord, your people filled with your spirit. Oh, God. And make their way out on a Wednesday night to hear the word of God. God, I just ask you tonight in the power of the Holy Ghost, minister, Lord, minister. Let us carry this home with us, Lord God. Let us bring this home. And when we awaken to more, somehow let it be. Let it rain in us. Oh, Christ lives in me. Christ is alive. I am dead, yet I live, but not I, but Christ. Oh, Lord Jesus, as we go through our day tomorrow, Lord God, when the old man wants to rise up, remind us, you live in us. You live in us. You have destroyed our inabilities, our incapabilities. All things are possible to him that can believe. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Why? Because it's Christ that lives in me. Lord, at your hands, your feet, your mouth, your eyes, your ears. Oh, God, we give our body to you. We give our vessel to you. Yours, Lord. We belong to you. We're bought with a price. We're no longer our own, oh God. It's our reasonable service. We sacrifice our bodies. We give ourselves to you, oh God. In the mighty, mighty name of the Lord. In the powerful name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Yasha. Oh, 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 mighty God. Oh, mighty God. We love you. 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 Do you love him? Put your hands together for the Lord. Clap unto the Lord. What a mighty God. Do you love him? Do you love him? You love him? Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We praise you. We praise you, Christ. Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen.